It's still the record, and I'm Ross Reynolds. Seattle entrepreneur and investor Rich Barton knows a thing or two about what it takes to start a successful business. He's a former Microsoft executive who went on to start the online travel website Expedia, and he co-founded Zillow, the online real estate database. Rich Barton sits on the boards of popular companies like Netflix. Recently, Rich was the keynote speaker at the 4th Annual Global Entrepreneurial Summit in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. He worked with would-be entrepreneurs from all over the globe. I asked him how starting a new business is different in the developing world.
I think the biggest one is the political environment is much different. The foundation that these entrepreneurs are building upon is a pretty shaky foundation in many situations. You know, this crowd was drawn from all over the Middle East, North Africa, and Asia. I think in this country, we take for granted the startup ecosystem and the soil of good government in which we grow our startups. You know, if I think about what's essential to a startup ecosystem, you can think of it kind of like, you know, like my friend Nick Hanauer talks about in his book, The Gardens of Democracy, kind of like a garden. Okay, you need the soil of good government. Without fair rule of law, and without that, the big incumbents kind of tilt the playing field towards them, right? And it's hard to put a new player on the playing field, amongst other things. So the soil of good government, you know, the water in this analogy might be this kind of river of talent. Okay, and here in Seattle, we have the University of Washington, mm-hmm. Which is just, for my business, is an unbelievable steady flow of engineers and business talent and marketers, you know, and journalists come out of that place, and that's great. And then I guess the sunshine in our analogy would be capital, would be mm-hmm. money, right? And without all three of these ingredients, a startup ecosystem can't happen. And in these other countries like Malaysia and elsewhere, or Egypt, or Indonesia, we had one guy from Myanmar. They just don't have the support.
Sure. I mean, do they figure out a way to work around it? When you talk about good government, I think of government, as you mentioned, the rule of law, the rules are kind of set and followed. But there are also many issues in many countries around the world of just official corruption, where you can't get things done without greasing some palms here and there, which I suppose if you learn how to do that, that's not a barrier for an entrepreneur.
I think entrepreneurs are nothing if not practical. Okay, they find a way to get things done. And I think in many countries, that does involve probably what we would consider here corruption. You know, there are those who would, you know, shine bright lights into dark places of our system and call it corrupt too. But it's a spectrum. Mm-hmm. And certainly in the countries that this Global Entrepreneurship Summit was drawing from, corruption is much more prevalent. I mean, this environment that we have here in Seattle or Silicon Valley or anywhere in this country, Austin, Texas, to start up a technology company, it is really quite easy. Even relative to Western Europe, we have a huge competitive advantage here in the United States relative to starting a company in Western Europe. The economies in Western Europe are much more focused on conserving the establishment, preserving the establishment. It's hard to get a company going in these countries.
And how about some of these countries that are newly entrepreneurial or maybe not quite there yet when it comes to the question of education? How do they kind of overcome that barrier?
Education is fundamental to turning out people with the skills required to create companies for the new information economy. But there are lots of companies that are being created that have nothing to do with the information economy, that require different kinds of education. Kind of first generation out of the rice paddy is a lot of the stuff that's going on in that part of the world. And that means an explosion in manufacturing, textile manufacturing and other manufacturing industries. And that's really been driving these economies for the last 15 years.
Rich Barton is my guest. We're talking about developing entrepreneurship in the developing countries of the world. You're also an investor, Rich, and you mentioned that really capital is the sunshine that makes this whole thing work.
Right.
I would not be surprised if you weren't approached by some who would like to have you shine some of that light down on them in some of these developing countries. But what are the difficulties when it comes to a place that's not known for entrepreneurship trying to attract capital?
You know, I think it's pretty hard to attract outside capital is pretty difficult. It's easier to attract local capital because capital wants to know the entrepreneurs. Okay, capital doesn't want to be investing in strangers. generally speaking, at a startup level. But from outside the country, what's going on? The reason I was in Kuala Lumpur was this entrepreneurship summit that was actually created by the White House, created by President Obama in the wake of the Arab Spring. And basically, the idea was if we can export American-style startup capitalism to these emerging economies in the Muslim world, but also more broadly speaking in this part of the world, that startup economy and capitalism go hand in hand with democracy. And so we are fanning the flames that we think are undeniable, that we think are unstoppable. We're fanning the flames of democracy as it spreads around the world. In part with that, the government, the White House, has brought in startup capital along with it. They've brought in programs to support entrepreneurs, and I can give you a couple of examples, to foster the institutions that are required to support entrepreneurialism.
Yeah, give us an example of some entrepreneurship that sprouted up in a place one might not expect it to be.
Okay, so I gave a keynote speech called Power to the People at this event, and that was great. I stood in front of a room full of a few thousand people, mainly entrepreneurs, and talked about consumer empowerment and how that was an important part of the fundamental investing philosophy for me in company creation. But that was just 1 hour of what I did over a three-day period there. And one of the other things I did was I was a Shark Tank-type judge for this thing called the Global Startup Youth. And this was an organization that brought 500 17 to 22-year-olds from around North Africa, Asia, and the Middle East 2 days ahead before this conference and broke them into 50 teams of 10 and said, you have 2 days to develop an app.
Wow.
And we're going to present it and we're going to have a competition and the winner is going to get funded.
Were you wowed?
I was wowed. I mean, I had so much fun meeting these kids. I was wowed as much by the passion and the energy and the creativity exhibited by these kids as I was about the ideas themselves. I was wowed there too, but there is an explosion of kind of a supernova of capitalist intensity and energy that's happening in this part of the world right now, and it's really marvelous to behold.
It's really exciting to go to a conference and get all fired up about stuff and meet people who are inspirations, as I'm sure you were, and others who are your peers. But sometimes you get back from the conference and the real life of the world begins to weigh on you. Have you stayed in touch with any of these young people since September?
I have. There was a startup that was the winner of the Global Startup Youth Competition, that Shark Tank-like thing. It's called Milestone. And there were 10 kids on that team. And I've kept in touch with a couple of them because they actually got some money as a prize. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to actually bring something interesting to market. Their idea was pretty cool. It was basically to match young people up via LinkedIn with mentors so that they could say what they dreamed about being someday, to match them up with people on LinkedIn who had volunteered and said, yeah, sure, I'll be a mentor for some young person around the world, match them up with the skill sets that they think were the right matches, and create a mentorship network. Poof.
Rich Barton is my guest. He's talking about his keynote speech and some of the people he met at the 4th Annual Global Entrepreneurial Summit in Kuala Lumpur, which took place this past October. Now, some people might be listening to you, Rich, and be saying to themselves, these people in these countries probably have needs for other things besides apps and LinkedIn. I mean, they have basic needs that aren't being met. How do you see what you are doing with them kind of connecting to some of the basic needs in many of these developing nations?
I mean, I think the great belief here is that the rising tide of a growing economy lifts all boats in these countries. Mm. I firmly, firmly believe that. And so you can be doing the right thing for your whole country and your whole economy and your whole region by pursuing, you know, these big capitalistic ideas, by creating these companies that will end up employing people and selling products to people in those regions and elsewhere in the world. And that all boats will rise as these economies rise. It's not just a great story. It's not just a great dream. It's a reality. So that makes me feel good.
That's Rich Barton, Seattle entrepreneur, co-founder of Expedia and Zillow. He joined us to talk about his experience at the Global Entrepreneurial Summit in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, where he was talking to people from developing companies about doing startup companies.